summed up into one phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus even said, there are only two commandments in the law that everything hangs on. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Oftentimes we forget that. We do. We forget it. And we like to poke fun at other people. Even now, okay? Politics. My goodness. Politics. Oh, my goodness. People get together and they discuss who's more righteous, who's less righteous, who's this, who is that. And we have a tendency to run down political figures, leaders in this country, casting stones at them, okay, just because they're liberal, just because they're Democrat, just because they're whatever. Okay? It behooves us again to remember that we were once sinners like that. Oh, my goodness, it behooves us to remember we're still sinners like that. Oh, my goodness. And Paul tells us, you got to remember these things. Thank God for salvation and then strive to preach the word to them, too. To tell others, even your enemies. Because sometimes we say, oh, I can love this person or I can love that person and I can witness to this person, but not my enemy. Not that person over there. I get near him and he stinks. He smells. I get near him and it just rubs me the wrong way. It's just, you know. Well, first thing we ought to do is pray for that, our enemy. Okay? And have that love of God, that Holy Spirit, be between me and my enemy. And it's like, anybody know the joints of your bodies? The knees? How many people have had their knees replaced or stuff? Anyway, the knees go like this, and in between there's a little thing called a meniscus, isn't there? A little piece of ligament, not ligament, a little piece of cartilage that just it smooths things out, doesn't it? Makes the joints. Mine are dry, so they creak every now and again, and sometimes I gotta, okay, come on, work. Right? Holy Spirit, love of God is that little meniscus, is that little piece of cartilage. Okay? We can't see it half the time. But if you have a torn meniscus, you know what I'm talking about. You can't hardly walk. You can't hardly do things because something's wrong. Okay? Our love for God is wrong because we don't use it in the right way as a buffer between us and lost people. Between us and those people we hate. Jesus said in the New Testament there in the Gospels, what good does it do you if you invite your friends and people that love you to dinner? It doesn't do a thing, does it? Okay. How many times have we heard preachers come in here and start preaching to save people and say, brother, you just preaching to the choir. Doesn't do anybody any good. It really doesn't. Okay. When you say those Baptist buzzwords and hope to get an amen from it, isn't it? You've been in plenty of preachers' things, huh? Preachers, when they get up, they speak, they say the buzzwords, you know, independent, fundamental, blah, 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 and all this stuff, and they say all these right words, hoping to get an amen. Okay. How about preaching the other thing? Love your enemy, even as Christ loved you. Nobody amens that, don't they? Okay. You guys know what I'm talking about. Nobody said amen. Everybody said, sorry, brother. It's that holy grunt. And it's one of those things that we have a tendency not to apply or put in effect the love of God and use that Holy Spirit to be our guide. Okay? We cast stones at other people. We disparage other people. Yes, I realize the political system in this United States is all messed up. Okay, because they're sinful men. We are sinful men trying to do the best we can in our own mind, in our own intelligence. What does God tell us about that? Don't do it because you're not as smart as I am. You got to listen and you got to read the Word of God. You got to hide behind the Word of God. You got to read what's in there and apply it. Use it. Pray for it. Every morning, God, help me, a sinner, to be like you. Okay? For what were we predestined to be? The image of the Son of God. We were predestined, not before, not to be saved, but we're all of men was predestinated to be in the image of the Son of God, of Christ. And you know, Paul, when he talks in that, he's talking about Old Testament scripture as well as New Testament scripture. I love that we support Brother Rosencrantz and Brother Reichman. I pronounce it right, but I asked him that. I do pronounce it correctly when I say Reichman, because that's the way it's pronounced. Anyway, they're Jews, preaching to the Jews. Tell them about the Messiah. Eh? I know there's plenty of Christians, Baptists too. Ah, they had their chance. How many times somebody preached to you? I know for me it was more than once that I heard about Jesus loving me and God loving me to send the Son to die for me. It was more than once I heard about it. I'm glad I had one more chance. I'm glad I had one more chance. And as I was sitting in the pew, I was probably about right here next to the window. The window was open just a crack. I was enjoying the breeze coming in. And not this church. It was a church in Southgate. The guy that had invited me, the kid that I was 17, the kid that invited me as I was holding onto that pew, came up through the crowd, through the guys coming over. I'm going, what are you doing? He comes up and he says, Fred, you want to be saved? Yeah. That's all it took. We went up and I prayed. His mind was not like other people's. It wasn't elsewhere. His mind was on his friend that he invited to church. Yeah, we were friends. Did we get along on everything? No. Not everything. But he saw that I was being worked on by the Holy Spirit, worked over, or that the Holy Spirit was beating me up. I was not going to budge. I mean, I was not going to leave on my own volition. And all he said, you want to be saved? Sure. So he went up, he showed me the scriptures, I prayed the prayer. And I was saved. It's like, you know, the love of God was shown that day. You know, we have to get beyond ourselves. And I'm saying this, and you say, well, what's it got to do with Proverbs? Well, because as we read the Old Testament and the book of Proverbs and stuff like that, we got to remember, instead of running down these people, Abraham, Jacob, the supplanter, instead of running down these people, let's look at, they're just human, doing things in their own human mind and their own human heart. Yeah, people run down to Abraham because he went to Haggai. He listened to the woman. I am surprised constantly how many Baptists, the woman is like, here's my wife. It's like, you're kidding me. This is your joint heir with Christ? Joint heir of the things of God, and you're going to treat her like that? You're going to treat her worse than Christ treats you? It's like, no. Anyway, and yet we have the tendency just to run people down. The love of God is not here. Okay? The precepts and the principles are not here, where we can exercise these things. Okay? I've had plenty of people over the years, well, if we're having Brother so-and-so in here to preach, I'm not going to be there because I don't like him. I don't like the way he preaches, you know. Well, you should be here only because you're not listening to him. You're supposed to be listening to the Holy Ghost that's using him to reach people. Oh, and one of those people is you and me. It's like, wow. So Solomon, no matter what we think of Solomon, yes, he was human. He was now king of Israel. Back then, that didn't mean a whole lot. Israel was just a tiny little land, and you had the Babylonians and all these people over here. You had all these people up here. You had all these people over there. And then you went down to Egypt where they came out of. You had, I mean, that was a big, big kingdom there. And then here's this little tiny sliver of land. I'm the king of Israel. Just a little tiny thing. But the meaning was that God appointed him king. God chose him to be king. That was the meaningful thing. And God used him as the teacher, as the preacher, to write some things down. And it's things that we should do. My opinion, and I've said this before, how that I think in the book of Proverbs, we are taught more about Christian living than any other book in the Bible. How it applies. And also how we can judge ourselves, because Paul says that in a couple places, judge yourself. when we read the book of Proverbs, because it also compares it to the wise to the foolish, the righteous person to the unrighteous person. And the idea here is not to create a balance, a yin and yang type of thing where, you know, we got to do, oh, we can't be too spiritual. Oh, we can't be too earthly. No. Where we got to be all spiritual and lean in that direction. And it's like, wow, why can't we do that? Because we're not paying attention. We're not embracing the Holy Ghost. We're not embracing the Word of God as it applies to us. Oh, yeah, the brother over there, he needs to do this. Sister over there, she needs to do that. Oh, those people out there, they need to, well, they all need to come to Christ, yes. But we're taught, how can you, in all honesty, by Jesus himself, he says this, how can you judge that person when you got, for a little speck of dirt, pardon me, in their eye, when you got this big old log hanging out of yours? Remember Pinocchio? Everybody see the movie? The more he lied, the longer that got. That got in the way, didn't it? I mean, everywhere he went, he's like, started hitting things, bumping things. How about the beam in our eye? Everywhere we go, it starts bumping on things. It gets in our way. And yet we think this beam is okay, sticking out there. I can't do this number, but, you know, sticking out there. And you know, when it goes out there, it gets in the way, doesn't it? It blocks a portion of our vision. I would say that eye that has the beam is useless. You ever close your one eye and try to read that thing at the doctor's office? One eye is better than the other. It's like, no, that can't be right. It's got to be both the same. No, one eye is better than the other. Okay. One of my ears hears better than the other. Okay. When we have blessings at night, Sunday nights, I turn my head this way because this is my best ear. And it's like, you guys don't have a microphone. You guys need to speak up, by the way. I'm just letting you know. You know, when you got a blessing from God, I got a blessing from God. Let's speak it out. Say it out loud. Not, well, I have a blessing from God, and this is it. I mean, I can't hear you. Anyway, that's just me. Sorry. But that beam, that thing gets in our way. And we don't see things through the filter of the Word of God, through the filter of the Holy Spirit. Okay. I like anti-glare stuff on my glasses. I can see a lot. When I drive my little van around town and the sun shines in on that dashboard, why the dashboards are shiny, I have not a clue. I mean, that just, it should be flat. Whatever color they make it, just flat, so that way it doesn't reflect up on the windshield. But it's like, you know, I can't see. I put the anti-glare glasses on. Oh, I can see. That's what we need to do. We've been listening to Brother Velasquez, right? Velasquez. For some reason, I've heard like 3 or 4 different things. I go, well, I'm Hispanic. I know how it's supposed to be pronounced. And all the things he says are true that he's been telling us all this week from a certain viewpoint. If we look at things from God's viewpoint, as children of God, as people that are that have the Holy Spirit within us, we may not be full of it, but people that have the Holy Spirit within, we know what he says is true. If we're looking at the stuff in the flesh, we say, you know, we can't live a life like that. Life of faith. But there's one thing that makes us different. Being saved, you now have the Holy Spirit that resides within. You can live a life like that. You know? He's got these books here, these Bibles. He's challenged us to take it and continue it on its way. Okay. It didn't originate from us, from me. Okay. And some people won't do that because, well, it's not for me, it's from somebody else. I'm just, you know, doing what the preacher said. It's like, you know, well, no, this is going someplace. Where's this one going for? Joey Starling. In Nigeria. Nigeria? I don't care about the people in Nigeria. I got a tough enough time here. Right? I mean, prices are going up. Gas is going up. Rent's going up. Well, wait a minute. With the Holy Spirit of God, we look and say, hey, we embrace this idea of worldwide missions. That's the only reason we're here this week, by the way, isn't it? That's the express purpose of all these meetings here all week. We've known about it pretty much all year because it comes out on our calendar and it says, this is it. Oh, that month there in April, yeah, this missions conference. To help us to reinvigorate our mind about the missionaries that we support all over the place. This isn't all the flags, by the way. Okay, we'd have to get the little tiny ones and just, you know, put. But these are big enough so we can see them. Where they are in our way and we can see them. And we read our mission letters every Thursday. So we understand what they're going through. And we have the missions conference that we can meet our missionaries and say, I know that person. From this day forward, from this week forward, I know Brother Velasquez and his wife. Okay? And it's like, maybe in 5 years when they come back, or 10 years, well, I remember you. You were here last time. It's like, yeah, we've had missionaries do that. Come back and you know, give a report. Give a report to us who are standing there going, yeah, we need your report. No, we just want to know what's going on. How you doing? And they say, oh, I remember you. I remember you. Oh, I don't remember you. Are you new? Yeah. I'm new since the last time. Are you new? Yeah. They can be encouraged by the people that are here, still faithful. We have had numerous missionaries send us letters, part of their letters, and thank you for being faithful all these years to this church here. The Days expressed that a lot too, because they had to leave their field because of the baby, come away. They're heading back. Different field, yes. Same God, same work. Okay. But Brother Velasquez has been reminding us of that. Saying, that's why we're here. Do we look at it as God's children and say, hey, I got to become part of that? Have we been praying this week about God lay upon me a number you'd have me to faithfully give each and every week or month or once a month or whatever? Maybe God laid upon you, oh, I got my taxes back. I'm going to give a one-time yearly offering. This is it. Maybe God has laid that on you. Well, how is that important to us? Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? Oh, that's a different thing. Hear me out. It's not different. Ananias and Sapphira, they saw everybody else selling a portion and bringing it to God, bringing it to church. Oh, we're going to do that. Yeah, let's do that. They went, they sold it. And because they're Jewish, they got a higher price than they expected. Hey, you can run them down for that all you want to, but shouldn't we be shrewd in business? Shouldn't we have meek as doves and yet have a mind like a serpent? The intelligence to actually act with a purpose? He's just doing what they're supposed to do. Take the little God has given us and turn it into more. Okay? Going, doing a sidetrack. The good stewards. At the end, I gained 100-fold, I gained 50-fold. Oh, I was afraid, so I hid it. You only had one talent, and you hid it? It's not worth hiding, I don't know. You know, anybody ever get pocket money and say, ooh, I need to put this in a special place, in a safe spot, put it someplace in the house? Did you ever lose it? I forget where my safe spots are. And then years later, you look at a pocket or something, oh, oh, I remember putting that there in a safe spot. Yeah. Well, I can use it now. Amazing how God works. Anyway, we go about and we say this mission works. You know, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. Our faith is like this big. Actually, if it were that big, it would be bigger than the faith of a mustard seed. Our faith is somehow that tall and we can't get over that. We can't get over ourselves. It's like, you know, we're here for that purpose too. And I'm not going to use, we can say invest. No, we're not investing. We are giving that back to God. And that's even the wrong term. We are giving to the Lord out of our love for him. Okay. The widow, when she came up to give her tithe, she saw everybody else. I don't even know if she saw Jesus hanging around over the side there. I really don't. I don't know. I mean, Jesus was popular at this time, and probably these other guys gave more. Oh, listen to this, Jesus. Here's all my money. You know, down that little thing that they got. I can't do the tinkling coin noise, so you'd have to be suffice. Anyway, so they're doing all this and putting it in there. Yeah, I'm a big giver, and she's probably looking there. Wait until, you know, there's a lull and cast her two mites in and left. She was probably embarrassed because I didn't have the money they did to give. All I had was this and give. And I hope you don't take this as an emotional plea. Oh, give all you got and stuff. No. She loved God so much first, like the Philippians. They did not, as we hope, because they did more than that, because they gave themselves first to the Lord. Isn't it amazing how easy that is? Pastor comes up, it's easy to spend somebody else's money, and we think that in just human terms alone. No. God has given you whatever you got. God has given it to you. What have you done with it? That good steward. I've not invested. I've actually cast it about. I've strown it, not to the whirlwind, but I've strown it to the things of the world. To Brother Ekno, to feed the lepers, the people that are despised and rejected of men. To other people who have taken it and have started. We think, a lot of our foreign missionaries, we think that, oh, that just goes all to them. No, they take it out of their pocket to pay for books, to pay for Bibles, to take the things. And this, you know, this won't come out of their pocket. This does not come out of their pocket. It's a free gift sent to them. Here, it's free for you. What did it cost us? Nothing compared to a soul. Nothing compared to eternal life. What would you give for eternal life? Paul says, I would hope myself to be accursed before God. Do you actually know what that means? Paul's saying to God, to other Christians, he said, I pray sometimes that God would just curse me, send me to hell, that all my brethren, the Hebrews, may be saved and come to God. Doesn't that show the love of God in practice, in actuality? At the end of his life, Paul said, you know, I have been stoned, I've been shipwrecked, I've been whipped. And the whipping is not an easy thing. Read it on your own volition, how they had that cord with the little things on the end, sometimes not, and they'd rip flesh off your back. You can only do that 39 times because 40 might kill them. What Paul said happened 3 times. 40 stripes save one. And yet, like after being stoned, he got up, went to the next city, and continued on. After something like this, oh, I think I'll retire. Oh, I think I'm just gonna lay here for a while and, you know, heal up. And I may or may not ever get back out, but I don't know, I've heard too many people says, I will not put myself in that situation to be stabbed in the back by a brother in Christ. Christ put himself in that situation where he was stabbed in the back by the entire world. Even much more than so, the apostles. When they came to God, they all scattered. They left him. Peter kind of hung far off. And even after Jesus warned him, Peter, you're gonna deny me 3 times before the night's over. Oh, no, Lord, I won't. He just hung around. Yeah, 3 times he denied the Lord. Then Peter went away weeping bitterly. For, oh, that Peter. Who does he think he is? Oh, that Peter. And how many times did Jesus turn around and say, get away from me, you Satan. You're not after the things I am. How many times did he tell the apostles, get away from me, guys. Oh, ye of little faith. And we cast stones at those guys. They were just like us. Peter's just like me, only he was able to fish every day as an excuse for a living. I mean, come on. All right, I like fishing, by the way. I'm jealous of your nephew. He has the gall to show me a picture. Fine. Good deal. But where's our love? Where's the practice of our love? People say we shouldn't have a prison ministry. They had their chance. I hate to see what time, when it comes time in your life, in our life, where God says, hey, you had your chance to do what I wanted you to do, and you ran away. We cast stones at a guy named the guy in the big fish, the whale. Jonah. I knew it was there. I had all these things, the big fish and everything, and then I saw the little cucumber guys, you know, the VeggieTales guys running through and doing the thing of Noah. It's like, Noah, we cast stones at Noah. Noah, you ran away from God when he said, go to Nineveh. Noah, give me that big rock. How dare you? Okay, so maybe we're not getting into a boat, getting down, hiding ourselves in the bottom of the ship, and then letting somebody else take us over to Spain. We're not doing that. But how many times do we come back to the cross and we see the salvation that Jesus paid? He loved us enough where when we were yet ungodly and antichrists ourselves, unholy, not worth anything, that God sent his son and his son said, yeah, I love him too. And he died for us. How many times do we come back to that and then walk away? How many times do we look into that mirror of the Word of God and we see what God, who we are before God? We see our condition. We see how God loved us and saved us. He loved us and he died for us. And yet we put the mirror down and we walk away. We do that with almost every saint in the Old Testament. We say, oh, those Israelites, they sent... Like Paul says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, they sent all these guys there, and they were stoned and sawn asunder. They were, you know, despised and rejected. They were all killed. They killed the prophets all day long. We run those guys down, and yet we won't look at ourselves. Where am I at? All this from the one verse there in Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Yeah, I've gotten like 3 weeks out of that now. It's like, wow. You know, when Paul says, let your love be without dissimulation, without separation, you know, saying I love this more person more than that person, you know, and stuff like that. Let it all be the same. The love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, the same for that lost person. Oh, there are some lost people that stink. You know, I transport people. Some are not able to bathe themselves, and they come on the van wheelchair, crippled. And it's like, oh, whew. One gentleman, when I was strapping him down, he had a wound on his feet. On his feet. When I picked him up, the flies were around the wound. It was bandaged, but the flies were attracted by the infection that was in his foot. I was taking him to the doctor. I went and got him. Whoa. you could smell that from about 5 feet away. And yet, in getting paid for it, I don't let that keep me from putting them on the van, from getting close to him when I go strap him in, getting close to his feet. If we could see sinful people like that and see that their wretched estate, and then have that love of God within us, we wouldn't mind putting our arms around him. Brother Eckno, he sends us pictures. He is in these villages with all these lepers. Amazed me the first time when he went came from, I forget where he was before, but he went to the colonies there in Sri Lanka. It just blew my mind the first time I see him hugging the people with leprosy. Fellowshipping, actually having a fellowship, getting around and, you know, personally touching them. Wow, isn't that not the love of God in action? And beyond that, the rejected of society there. These people are just kicked out, put along in the slums on the side of the road, you know. If that's where you stay and die and rot, who cares? Even the Buddhists and the Hindus and stuff that are supposedly, you know, spiritual people. They're like the Levite, passing the guy. No, walking on the other side of the street to pass him. And we'll cast stones at people like that all the time, but how about us? When people like that come across our mind, are we ready to give? Brother Eckno asks us to help support buying goats, buying seedlings so they can plant coconut trees, building little houses, two-room houses plus a bathroom, probably kitchen, living room / bedroom, and a bathroom for these people that are rejected by everybody else in their society, just to show the love of God to these people. Verse 30, strive not with a man without cause if he had done thee no harm. You listen to us talk half the time, we love striving with people. It's all we live for sometimes, to strive with people. No, be at peace as much as resides within you, Paul tells us. We've done something wrong here. Sometimes we get mad at people. Yes, brother, I'm talking to you and me. Dry all the drivers on the road. what is he doing? There's nobody behind me and he cuts me off. My wife says, shut up. What are you talking about? Well, because you're just, it's not doing him any good. It's not doing you any good. She's the calm one. She learned that because when we first were dating, driving up to the car, there was the lights were blinking at this railroad crossing. Blink, 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 thing was starting to come down. Put the car in neutral and gunned it. Didn't go anywhere. She went, scared her to death. She hit me. A buddy of mine was in the back. We were actually taking him home. He started laughing, busting up. She turned around and gave him a look. You ladies learn that look early. I'm serious. He shut up. I'm sorry, babe. So I slowed down and meekly came up to the crossing. And I would meekly cross the crossing when the train was gone. And I was like, okay. Okay, so I've learned to get beyond like that. But, you know, we ourselves, we're kind of ornery people, aren't we? We're a little boogers sometimes. I bet your spouses have plenty to say about you if they were so inclined. It's one of those things that, man, we just like striving with people sometimes. Some people make a living at it. They get paid, radio guys, TV guys, talk show hosts. They get paid a lot of money for it. Man, I like doing it for free. So it's like, no, you can't press buttons. Why? Because that's striving with a man without a cause. God tells us that love is not to be that way. The love of God is not to be expressed in such a manner. This week, we are challenged to have that love of God expressed to people we don't even know. Brother Wally comes and tells us about the people. He was the first guy, I've told you this before, he was the first guy that really impressed me as having a love for his ministry. The first preacher who came back, this was years ago, and said, I can't wait to get back home. Well, aren't you from the States? Aren't you home now? No, home is where my people are. Home is over there. And I don't know, but I would bet you that his heart is breaking. I am coming to the point where I can no longer physically do this. He's given us 2 years to pray for a successor to come and do the ministry there to the people he so loves. He's been there a long time. And it's like, you know, are we praying for that already? I mean, he asked us to. Are we praying for it? But he loves those people. Brother Ekno loves the people where he's at. We don't know him, but we know the people that do. Oh, we also know the God who came and died for them. Okay. I'm going to have to end this shortly. So as we continue on, let's put our stones down. Put the rocks that we cast at other people. Our attitudes that keep us from enjoying each other's company. Put down everything and lay it aside. Paul tells us that. Lay aside this weight of sin that so easily besets you. What does it that so easily besets you? Bicyclists used to do that for me when I drive. I'm on the road. My taxes are paid for this road. My car should be able to go unimpeded without worrying about that bicyclist. They're on the white line and they go like this. Get over there. You got 4 feet. Come on. Honest. I'm like that. My wife says, shut up. No, she doesn't say shut up. She says, hush now. Or she'll give me the silent treatment. She's much more spiritual than I am. I don't do that anymore, by the way. I really don't. Not on bicycles. Okay. Other people. Oh, she does it too, by the way. Now that she's up here, somebody cuts us off and it's icy out there and I hit the brake just a little bit. And you hear the car. Everybody knows that noise, right? And that feeling, you hit the brake because the car is starting to slide. And then she looks in the mirror on her side. There's nobody behind us. That's what I say, honey. But it's okay. I'm watching. So at the end of the week here, the end of this week is just the beginning of next week, isn't it? The end of this week is the beginning of something else. What's it going to be for us? Have we made in our heart a determination? We talked about it this morning on the way in. Well, how much should we give? Well, let's give this amount. Oh, great. That's what God's been telling me too. We are in accord. Actually, we're in a Ford Explorer. Anybody know? Anyways, never mind. But where has God led you this week? Have you listened? All the messages have been good. Nobody paid me to be here, by the way. I'm serious. Nobody paid me to be here all 5 days. And it's like, yeah, I'm here for the message, for the encouragement and the fellowship, for the meals that we've had beforehand, for the encouragement to not only continue on to finish out this year, but continue on for the next, and the next, and the next, until the Lord takes us home or I die. Paul said, I would love to be here for you guys. But I'm looking forward to being called home. Our attitude should be such, I'm here for you guys, for the church, for the people we have yet to reach. I wish I could be home. But what vision have we seen? Where the people perish, Brother can't remember his name. He brought all the kids. Those guys all sat up here. What do you have, 20? No. The Thursday before. That was his message. Yeah, Brother Dodson. I don't know why I can't. I pray for him, but I don't look at his prayer card. That was the prayer, or that was the message we had before we started this week. He didn't know. Matter of fact, I said, man, that's what I needed this week. And he said, really? Because I was going to preach a different message, and God put that one on my heart. Praise God. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it a great thing? I think it's great. God wanted to lead me somewhere, at least. I should have ended a couple minutes ago. But remember that this week. The end of this week is just the beginning of another and of another. The end of today is the beginning of tomorrow. What will tomorrow bring? I don't know. When God's in it, isn't it lovely? Isn't it lovely? Gracious Heavenly Father,